big game. Welcome to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Sammy, you look good? You ready?
I just put in eye drops if it looks like I'm crying.
Your mic wasn't on when you started your intro there. Try again.
Take two.
Yes.
Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. A little over 24 hours.
Yes.
Till we get puck drop here. He's Justin Bourne. He's Sammy McKee. In for Derek Brandeo, Andrew Dutch Holland, Jen Rolnick. Abbreviated version once again. But tomorrow, game day, two full hours, 4 p.m. Eastern to 6. We will be there willing and ready to tee you up for a big matchup. In the meantime, glad you're aboard here. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. So off ice, as we watch who's available, who's not available, it's turned into a bit of a
fiasco,
a clown show.
Like, what is going on here? How does a head coach of the USA tell the hockey world that Quinn Hughes is coming to Boston?
Presumably, he was told Quinn Hughes is coming to Boston. Someone told him that.
So what happened? So for those of you that don't know, Quinn Hughes is not going to Boston.
Nope.
He has been deemed ineligible because he has not cleared medically.
Mm-hmm.
You sure about that?
You sure about that? Hey, like, they had a massive decision on their hands. Could you let Quinn Hughes play, even though they technically have enough bodies and he wasn't eligible, but he was named to the roster? It was so unclear, should this guy be allowed to play or not? People were going to be mad. They were going to be mad whether they said yes or whether they said no. But now he's medically uncleared for one day.
I felt, as soon as I saw a video of him at practice today in Vancouver, I thought that pretty much sealed the deal that he wasn't going to be flying here to play in a game tomorrow. Same. So, I don't know. I guess I'm happy.
They said he was cleared, and then he skated today, and they decided he was uncleared. But he's going to be cleared for their first game when the Canucks come back.
So he's more cleared with the contact jersey on today than he was yesterday with the non-contact jersey.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. I'm picking it up here.
Hold on. Let me throw another, flaming bowling pin for you to juggle. Tage Thompson and Brett Pesce are on their way to join the U.S. team.
Right out of the bullpen. Yeah.
Send in Tom Wilson, for God's sakes.
Here comes Tage Thompson. Tage Lemieux, as we've called him on this show, who, honestly, watching that team, I can't believe he's not there. But he will be.
Are we Trocheck unavailable? Austin Matthews misses the last game. He says he's good to go, but is he? Like, where do you see Thompson, just going for the pom-poms?
No, it sounds like there's legitimate illness going around. Like, the Swedish team, now that they're done, everyone is saying how sick they were. Kale McCarr was sick. I think they got sick guys. And if they all need IVs on the day of the game,
so get
Paige
IVs.
Might be in.
But you got to barf up a lung before you miss that game.
Maybe they're barfing lungs.
I don't know. So the Sabres play their first game out of the break Saturday at 5:30 in Buffalo against the Rangers. I guess it's a little bit less of an ask to go from Buffalo to Boston than it is to go from Vancouver to Boston.
One game, right?
It's one game. So
watch Tage get in and sprain an ankle or something.
Yeah.
I guess, what does Buffalo care?
In a minute or so, we're going to welcome in Kevin Lowe, Hall of Fame defenseman. Quiet, guys. Teeing up Lowe.
Sorry.
Kevin Lowe in a couple of minutes, and Elliot Friedman from Boston will join us in about 25 minutes and give us also the latest on what he's hearing as far as lineup matches are concerned and who may or may not be in attendance, i.e., presidents.
Wow.
That's being reported as not happening.
Not happening?
That's Frank Cervelli, and someone else said that the TDR is not making plans for a presidential visit.
It's not like he's sitting around just eating Big Macs, trying to go
for sports.
Sporting
I heard
event.
He was going to be at TGL or something like that.
He probably had a tea time. He can't cancel.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's not going.
It wouldn't have helped things, I don't think.
It would have taken We wouldn't need a bigger tent for the circus.
Yeah. You'd had some Canadian players wasting all their time shooting pucks in the stands.
Again, you just don't, he just doesn't travel 24 hours. Like, airports get shut down. Highways get shut down. You got to go through security checks with employees at TD Garden. Like, it's not like you can just.
The logistics of that are now, insane.
Right?
But 24 hours notice. But.
That said, it does speak to the publicity this game is getting in the U.S. that was talked about. You know, it's. Apparently ESPN is making it like the hockey Super Bowl sort of thing. They're all in on their flagship station is going to be there. They're throwing everything at it.
We got to win. Jesus, we got to win.
They're watching, Sam.
We got to win so
keep
bad.
They're watching.
So let's just, you know, ESPN, hey, stick around after it because we got lots of NHL hockey as well.
There's other feature attractions.
Tons, but no question that the buildup in this thing is, it does take you back a little bit to right back to 1972, where that Summit Series, you guys were
not born,
barely sperm back then, but no one knew what the Summit Series was going to be. Some guys used it as a way to get in shape for their training camps. It was supposed to be just this fun
exhibition event.
Exhibition game when it turned into, we got to win at all costs.
Yeah, this is actually a world war now.
And this kind of has mirrored a little bit where we went in, we weren't really sure what we were going to expect, but we thought, for the most part, the guys had an opportunity to show some pride, and then it just has escalated into Sammy's, like, win or death right now.
They got guys like Jack Eichel, who has won a Stanley Cup, said, this may be the biggest game of my career.
Yeah.
You know, you got guys putting some real weight on this single game.
Okay, a guy that's put some real weight for Team Canada over the years, over a career, is joining us. Kevin Lowe, Hockey Hall of Fame defenseman, 6-time Stanley Cup champion, 2-time gold medalist, and knows a little bit about what's going
3-time
on.
3-time gold medalist.
Oh, my gosh. I cut a finger.
But who's counting?
So I'm just reading what you wrote.
And I told you right before the show it was actually 3.
But I thought I'd see 3. And then I saw 2. Losey, I didn't want to cheat you out of that one, man. How are you?
But not, I'm doing great. But as you know, management and coaches don't get Olympic medals. It's just the players, and deservedly so. But was part of 4 Olympics and part of 3 gold medal winning teams with Canada.
Awesome stuff. So just give us a little bit of your overview of what we've seen in the last week on, and I just started talking about, you know, was it like 72? I mean, you kind of grew up with 72 where nobody really knew what to expect at a Russian team. Was it going to be like an exhibition look? And then it becomes win at all costs. And this one's kind of turned into a similar situation.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, 72 is different because it evolved into our country's pride because we played so poorly at the start. And, of course, that began the long history of international series. What I couldn't believe is that people were actually downplaying this event. Like, it wasn't going to be intense. Like, the players were just going to go out there and play like it was an all-star game. People actually talked about that, and it was like, how ridiculous is that? I mean, obviously, they don't really know the intensity of the players when they put on their national jerseys, whether it's U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland, any of the countries. There's so much pride when you play for your country, and you want to win, man. You don't want to not win, and particularly in our case, as Canadians, we're expected to win. So a lot of pressure, but we've got a lot of guys with a ton of experience in there for that game tomorrow night. And, hey, it's great for the game of hockey. It's just certainly in North America and Europe, and hopefully it's growing worldwide because it's the greatest game in the world.
One thing people outside dressing rooms don't seem to know is how the dressing room is made up of these factions of, you know, the Swedes going out to lunch together and the Russians. Like, it is a real thing. No wonder there's so much national pride. I did want to get your thoughts on how you build these teams in turn, like once the event starts, how do you keep everyone happy who's so used to getting all the minutes and getting to be the top dog when not everyone can be that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the late Pat Quinn said it so rightfully so, in 2002. He said the first meeting in Calgary that summer was, gentlemen, check your egos at the door, because we're here for one thing and one thing only, to win for Canada. And listen, everybody's got an opportunity. You got to play the game right. And we're here to try to win a championship. And when you got a guy like that and you have, you know, great leaders, Wayne was in charge of it all. Then you had, of course, had Mario and Joe Sakic and Steve Yzerman. I mean, just like, that's hockey royalty, some of the best players of all time, but also the greatest leaders of all time. So, you know, that really puts everybody in their place, I guess. And then you got guys like Brad Marchand saying, hey, listen, I'll carry the sticks. I don't care. I just want to, I want to be a part of this. I want to try to win this, knowing again how important it is, as it turned out. So really excited about the game tomorrow.
You're watching and listening to Kevin Lowe, three-time gold medalist and a big part of Team Canada's management team, which I want to get into now, because you, of course, can forecast a potential style of play when you pick your team. But then there's another thing to kind of envision what we saw Saturday night in the first 9 seconds. And then where do you go as a management team, Lozy, when it comes to hindsight's 2020, because now we're looking at a lineup with Seth Jarvis, who's 5'10 and a wonderful hockey player, but I really have no use for you if that's the kind of game that the U.S. is going to come right back at us Thursday night. So where are you on reflection, and then once you're in, and, you know, just in terms of picking players and not necessarily regretting, you know, what you did?
Well, I didn't follow the selection very closely, to be honest, other than, you know, checking the predictions and, you know, as the players, we started getting closer to the Four Nations before they had to pick the team. And I kept seeing Tom Wilson's name on there, scored a lot of goals. And the first thing I thought of last Saturday night when the Kachuks pulled off what they did, no question they don't do that if Tom Wilson's in the lineup. They would be thinking better that, okay, we're going to have to deal with that guy. And hey, listen, Konechny and Jarvis, Brad Marchand are all smaller guys, but you know, they play with a lot of ferocity and you know, they're going to give it everything they have. And it's not about, so not to confuse people, you know, this as well as anyone, Kip, although you played the physical game, is the game is won by who wants to take the puck to the net, who wants to get to the hard places, not so much about who's the toughest and who wants to fight and who wants to be the dirtiest. It's sucking it up and getting to the net to score goals. And I don't think Canada did that well in the first game against the Americans. It's very similar to 2002 and again, 2010. You know, we lost that game in 2010 against the Americans. It was a good wake-up call. I think they probably weren't overconfident because they played a hell of a game, but it certainly, that game last Saturday for Team Canada, you know, was a quick shot across the bow of, okay, this is more than this is a hockey game. This is about the pride of the country. And although they went into that game probably thinking that way, it's hard to get up for a game the way they're going to get up to the game tomorrow. And we'll see what unfolds.
Lozy, you've been a part of a lot of winner-take-all games. Is there any one thing or maybe a couple of things that dictate the winner of those games, or is each one unique unto themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, thinking back, I mean, you got to be confident in your game plan. You know, by now it's a short tournament, so you don't have a lot of runway to sort of look at, you know, past negatives and stuff, but I'm sure the coaches would be emphasizing, not make it too complicated. Okay, these are the things we got to be precise about. In fact, that's everything. So all the simple things, right? Get it in, get it out. No retaliation. Don't get sucked into a bad penalty. You know, that kind of stuff. I don't expect any of the guys to. And then again, like, it's winner take all. So you got to go to the net. You got to shoot the puck when you get an opportunity. You got to go to the net and play hard. And believe in yourself. Believe you have the team. Believe that you have the destiny. If Binnington can make, he doesn't have to stand on his head. Just make all the necessary saves. That's all Canada typically needs in a goalie. I think they're going to be all right.
I got to believe you're like many of us that watch a 37-year-old Sidney Crosby go out there and go, man, this guy isn't not ready to go off into the sunset just yet.
Well, I don't know how old Mario was in 2002. I think he's probably about the same age, maybe even a little bit older. But I mean, it. We weren't even sure he was going to play, and then he goes out and does what he does. You know, that's why those guys are the greatest of all time. And they, besides being great and great talent and great people, great leaders, they love the game. And Sid really exemplifies that. You know, just the way he approaches the game. He just appears to love the game as much as anyone, so, or maybe more than anyone. So it's so fun to see. I was so happy for him. But again, I'm sure he doesn't want a two-game losing streak for his own personal record with Canada, so he's going to make sure that doesn't happen tomorrow.
How do you feel about where the Americans are at now? There's a lot of people calling Canadians underdogs, and you know, that's something that probably hasn't been said in your lifetime. Have they caught us?
Well, when I started in the league in 1979, the NHL, I think it was 2% were American-born players, and Now it's almost 30%. So the game has evolved. I guess we can blame all that on Wayne Gretzky for going down to Los Angeles and going to the game.
Traitor.
And I'm joking, of course, because it's been great for everybody involved in hockey. They've come along. It's to be expected. It's you can't. You know, the Calgary Flames and the Battle of Alberta, they just kept getting better and better, and they finally beat us once. I don't think if the Americans are lucky enough to win the game tomorrow night, I don't think it'll happen all that often. But yeah, good for them. I mean, I played with a lot of great American players, you know, Brian Leetch and Mike Richter, just to name a couple. And they're as passionate as we are. Like, we think we've cornered the market on passion. I mean, they're pretty passionate. So that's what makes the game so exciting.
Kevin, you part of your management work over the years in Edmonton, very close to the ownership group there, led by Cates, of course, in Edmonton. And then there's Jeremy Jacobs in Boston. And although I'm sure both owners would sit there and say, this is wonderful and we love it, but there might be a part of the Jacobs family that goes, well, I may not have McAvoy here for the next 6 weeks here, and we may miss the playoffs here because of it. Are we at the point now where between maybe Gary Bettman's office and the Players Association that, hey, this is just the way it is, and you know, you're just going to have to deal with it? Or is there something that we could look at moving forward here that may leave the season ticket holder that's invested so much in their respective teams, you know, still thinking that, you know, we still got a shot at winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, that's a good question for sure. I mean, I personally know people that feel that way, that feel like, you know, we invest a lot of dollars into watching the NHL game. And we sometimes hope, especially in the case of Edmonton, where it's been such a long drought, that, you know, we're getting closer. But having said that, having played in, you know, so many international tournaments and Stanley Cup finals and playoffs, rather, you know, the injuries don't happen often. If it happens to a McDavid or a Matthews or those type of guys, it really can hurt the season. But again, it's about the game and growing the game. And I think a tournament like this really does that. So everyone's got to sort of put their own personal, you know, their personal objectives behind a bit in order to grow the game. I mean, if you know, the NHL hadn't or the Canada, I guess we can credit Allan Eagleson for that in 1972 for creating that summit series or being a part of it. I don't know too many people want to credit Allan Eagleson with too many things, but I will credit him. He did a lot of good things. You know, who knows where we'd be today? So.
One more, and then I'll let you go, pal, and then I'll get these guys to answer it after we let you go. But if all things being equal, would this have still worked and had the hype if it was in September instead of today in the season? And you've been part of a lot of September matches, right? International matches.
Well, the way the Americans came out on Saturday night, it could be... they could do that in July and it'd still get everyone fired up. I mean, I like what they're planning. I mean, I like the rotation of, you know, World Cup, World Championships, World Cup. No, sorry. World Championships, World Cup, Olympics.
Yeah.
I got that right. Anyways, every other year, you know, once every four-year cycle, you got the Olympics and you got the World Cup. And I think that's great for the game.
Well, we'll let you bask in your 82-degree weather.
That looks pretty good there, wherever you are.
Where are you?
Southern part of Mexico, yeah. It's weather never changes. It's plus 32 every day.
I still have that open invitation, right?
Oh, well, only if you bring Justin with you.
There you go. All right.
The whole crew.
Well, we do appreciate you taking your time away from that to join us today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem, you guys.
All right.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, we will. Bye. Kevin Lowe, Hockey Hall of Famer.
McKee sent me his, you know, like his awards and his career accomplishments.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, I'm not reading all that. Like, it's a 3,000 word document of the amount of winning that man has done in his life.
So let me ask you the same question, that if he's right and it's about the Americans coming out and setting a tone in us and it could work in July, then wouldn't it protect teams better if it was in September than in the middle of the season?
Well, I mean, if guys get hurt in September going into camp, is that, I mean, it's still not great, but I assume you think that's a better time, better spot for it.
Whatever happens, you can heal by Christmas and you're good to go the rest of the way.
Is it not the, oh no, the NFL is back fear?
That could be. It could be. A college.
Do you, I guess that's the, that answered my question. I was going to say, I don't know if people will be less excited for it in September or now. But the only argument for it now, I guess, is just guys are in the flow, in the in literal mid-season form, ready to rock kind of thing, as opposed to like working themselves back in off the summer.
It'd be tough to come off the summer shinny rink to that.
So I don't know if it would feel the same.
It just does feel like the NHL loves post-Super Bowl hockey, right? Like they, to me, the NHL schedule should start, puck drop should be when kids go back to school on the regular season. That makes sense. That's hockey season. That's when hockey starts for all our kids. However, it's the NFL.
Doesn't seem like right now seems like part of the perfect storm of what's happening here. Yeah.
No NBA.
No NBA.
NFL is gone.
A horrible NBA All-Star weekend where everybody's laughing at it.
Universally lauded when you, NBA All-Star weekend.
So
lauded is a good thing.
Well, I thought what's the opposite of lauded?
Panned?
I thought lauded was the bad one. Yeah. That's another edition of me not knowing English.
But yeah, I'm staying right out of this conversation. You know my vocabulary.
I get your point. The everything has gone right.
Yep.
There is no sports to compete with right now.
All right, we got a Kippers Clipper.
Well, I mean,
what do you want to do?
I thought we should probably do game time break, get the Frege, and then after we go to Frege, we can do some of the clips.
That's all right.
Also, quickly, Losey mentioned Mario Lemieux's age. Mm-hmm. They're the exact same age.
No way.
Yeah.
What a call by him.
37. Yep. And Sid's 37, right? So there you go. At the time of the Olympics, he was 37 years old. So pretty interesting.
I choose to believe that that means Sid's going to have a big moment in the final game.
He's going to pretend to kick a puck up to his stick and
let her dummy through the legs.
God, that's one of my favorites ever. But quick hockey fashion note.
Yeah.
Mario wore the worst bucket of all time in those Olympics. That old Nike one.
He wore the worst bucket of all time.
The Jofa was fine. But that remember that like Nike helmet? And Kipper has no idea what I'm talking about.
He was so good in the Jofa, though.
He's allowed to wear the Jofa. Like, Mario's peak's as high as anyone's peak.
Mario was Jofa helmet.
Jofa helmet, for sure.
Anyways, it's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now we're going to have to get creative, fellas, because it's the Canada-USA game. There has been no movement in the line.
Oh boy.
It has stayed at -110 on both sides. So there's been no Quinn Hughes.
That's so cool.
There's been no Quinn Hughes change to it. There's been nothing. It's just stayed as -110, dead even. And the one that I wanted to bring up, which I think is interesting, is the tournament's MVP. And I guess they're giving out the tournament's MVP. And that's who do you think the favorite for the tournament's MVP is at this moment?
See, I think what it is going to be and what it should be isn't the same, but I bet you it's Sid.
It's not Sid.
No, it's Matthew or Brady.
Wrong. Connor Hellebuck is the favorite right now at +260.
Yeah. He's given up three goals.
Connor McDavid, second at +280.
Yeah.
Sid at +500.
He's been
McKinnon plus six. The first American on this list is Jake Guentzel at 10-1. I mean, after the goalie, the first American skater. Mm-hmm. So that's
I think if you went with sentimental, it's the Tkachuk. If they win Thursday night and they're remotely involved in scoring,
mm-hmm. I don't
one
think
of them's gonna get
I'm
it.
Hopeful that people don't look at points over this tournament as a deciding thing. It's
well, why
like,
would you look at all the great names with like zero or one?
Well,
point.
There's three games played.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and they've been low scoring tight games. It basically comes down to how'd you do against Finland? Because everyone else has
Kyle
like
Connor, Adam Fox. These are all like guys that lead teams.
Yeah.
You know, and Austin.
I got to tell you.
Zeros.
He's got an assist.
Sid plus 500, 5-1. If they win and he has 1 or 2 points, mm-hmm. he's auto MVP.
Yeah, he'll have 7 yeah. points in
to
four
me,
games.
That's like that's a pretty good value.
You got to win it to win that MVP award.
Absolutely.
At this point, it's like, give us a great final game and you've got a great chance at it. To me, it's got like McDavid McKinnon moved the needle more than anyone else on Canada by a mile.
Tkachuk brothers are tantalizing.
Plus, if you could pick them together.
Plus 1,600 for Matthew, plus 1,800 for Brady as a tournament's MVP.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Those are good value bets right there.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365 with 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts in Boston. He'll give us the latest on the Quinn Hughes saga and what we can expect going into tomorrow night's big game. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kipper and Bourne show. The Kipperios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We'll get Elliot teed up here. Just, you had mentioned no penalties basically called.
Yeah.
In three games. How many power plays?
Canada has had 3 power plays, actually 4 minutes and 12 seconds of power plays, and they've only taken 3 minors, which is crazy, but I think a good thing. Very good officiating is my point. It's been a perfect tournament from the official standpoint.
We'll have a conversation on that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Elliot joins us now from Boston. Frege, what's going on, bud? How are you? Thanks for combing your hair. It's actually looks
this
good
is
today.
As good as it gets, Nick.
It does. It does. Gets. But certainly not pulling your hair out following who's playing and who's not, right?
No, I mean, I didn't think Hughes was going to play. Like when he was at, someone said to me, if you see him at Canucks practice last night, he's not playing. And that turned out to be true. I don't really, someday we'll find out, Nick, exactly how everything unfolded behind the scenes.
Find out now, Elliot. Find out now. And how does Coach Sullivan come out and say he's coming?
You know what happened, Nick? I really believe like this event, they kind of played it by day with the rosters. Like to go back, the PA, Nick, didn't want guys sitting around doing nothing. So they limited the rosters at 23. I think if everybody could go back in time and the teams wanted it, but it was blocked, they would go to 25 like the Olympics are. And then once we got here, we realized that guys were playing hard. And, you know, if you look what happened with Harley, we went from, okay, can't touch the ice until Makar is off the ice, hide behind the door, to, okay, you can come on, to, okay, you can play the game. And then we were unsure of whether or not, you know, the same rules applied or he was on the roster, which he is. He's got nothing blocking him now. And then I think the Americans just thought the same was going to be the case for Hughes. And I think Sullivan was told Hughes is coming. He's our guy. And people said, wait a minute, not so fast. So I think I don't think Hughes was ever coming here to play unless he knew he was playing. Now, Nick, there is talk here that maybe he wanted to come and watch the game. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but there was some of that. That's for certain.
I always got the sense with the old guard media as I tried to break into it that there was some resentment over my cynicism. So excuse me here as I be cynical. Quinn Hughes not medically cleared feels like a very conveniently timed lack of medical clearance. So the NHL didn't have to make a decision here. It was going to upset people for Ege. If he could play or if he could not play, there was going to be some very upset people on either side. Is that fair?
JB saying they're lying.
I think, yeah, I do.
Like, I think if there's an issue here, it's probably Vancouver's. Mm-hmm. I don't think Team Canada was, like, I had heard that Team Canada said they weren't going to throw up a stink one way or the other.
Yeah, so you think that it's possible everyone was good with Quinn Hughes playing for the U.S., which, by the way, I saw on Twitter, you and I agree. I'm good with it, too, as a Canadian. Like, it's best on best. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, I don't think – I didn't get a sense that the Canada was blocking it or anything like that. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. And I asked around. Like, I said – well, especially when Thomas Harley got cleared to play, I asked around, you know, who's got a big problem with this? And I received less pushback than I thought I was going to. I mean, you guys know how this works. Sometimes if you give people anonymity, they'll unleash their deepest demons. But that wasn't usually the case in this place. I didn't get a sense that Team Canada was... My honest feeling, Justin, is that Vancouver had more of a problem with it than Team Canada did.
Interesting.
Elliot, I got to ask you about Charlie McAvoy's injury and the response, I think, from the local fans there in Boston to maybe the management and what you're hearing on that. Me personally, I watched him Saturday night and thought that's as good as I've seen him ever with the physicality and just his overall presence. And we've watched a lot out of him over the last few years and how that could affect Thursday night. And if it wasn't Charlie McAvoy that suffered this injury, if it was Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews, would Edmonton or Toronto be taking this as well as maybe Boston fans might be?
Well, I think the people who are the angriest, Nick, is the team, the Bruins. Like, if you read their statement today, they make it very clear that they are unhappy with how this all went down, that they don't feel that their player was given the proper treatment. Hmm. It seems now that McAvoy was originally injured in the opener against Finland. There's a play where Joel Armia takes him hard into the post. And it sounds like, I don't know if he got a shot or something. I don't know exactly what happened. But he played Saturday, it looks like here, with much more severe an injury than he was initially led to believe and everybody was initially led to believe, which makes his performance, as you mentioned, all that more impressive. And so from what I understand, on Monday, he was in a bit more pain and he was admitted to hospital and they realized the injury was more severe than believed or initially diagnosed. And number two, there was an infection there that had to be operated on and removed. So I don't know if he was given a needle or something like that or a shot or something like that and it got infected. But it was something along these lines. The one thing is, I remember yesterday when it was the Bruins and not Team USA that announced that McAvoy was out, there were people saying, how come the Bruins, whose GM is the GM of Team Canada, are announcing that Charlie McAvoy wouldn't play? And then it became pretty clear it's because the Bruins were extremely unhappy with the way this had been handled. And that they felt that, you know, that in this particular case, McAvoy didn't get the proper care. And we'll see how this plays out over time. And we'll see if anybody disputes this. But it seems to me right now that Boston's very upset at the care that McAvoy got under Team USA.
Wow.
Now, I do think one of the things that's going on here, guys, is that Team USA's doctors, I think, are Minnesota's doctors. And I do think what the NHL teams have kind of indicated, I don't know if to the league or anything like that, but privately, is from now on, they want someone independent there.
Players are going to have to travel with their own doctors now.
20 doctors milling about. Yeah. If the treatment itself led to the infection, that's a pretty big deal.
That's a big story.
Yeah.
So the other thing that has us our attention is Tage Thompson and Brett Pesce show up. the story, I think, that maybe is going to be told post-tournament is about illness and how Sweden sounds like they were much more sick than we know. Obviously, Makar sounds like some Americans, too. What are we looking at for the for Team USA and some of the health pitchers down there?
Well, I'll tell you this one thing, Justin. It's going to be very interesting to see who's playing on Saturday.
Thursday.
And maybe even a couple games beyond
You're talking NHL.
After NHL.
Yes. I can see a situation where teams either say to guys, you know, take a game off or two, or players go back and they're like, you know, I wanted to play this game for the U.S. or Canada, but I need time now. Like, I'm hurt. There's been some whispers in a couple of those on a couple of these players that's going to happen. So today, the only guy who was missing was Brady Tkachuk. And we all kind of wondered, okay, does that have anything to do with him going into the post against Sweden? And they said illness, or he wasn't feeling well. So he's the guy we're looking at right now. But there's no question, like, for the Swedes on Monday night, Zibanejad actually showed up in the rink. He was in the room. And then he had to go back like 2 hours before the game, and he went back to the hotel. Like, he couldn't play. He tried to play, and they sent him home. So, and yeah, as you know, Arvidsson and Ekholm weren't supposed to play, and Raquel and Zibanejad couldn't, so they had to play. There's definitely something here, but again, Kreider would have to be in the lineup, and somebody else would have to be hurt for Thompson to play, and the same goes for Pesci. They have to go down below six, and right now Sanderson's in the lineup.
So in Detroit and Ottawa missed the playoffs by 1 point. How are owners going to feel about that?
Hey, remember John Tavares in 2014, right? Remember how mad Garcinot got?
Mm-hmm.
And then he came right out and said how he felt, and then the league let him know, you're not going to talk like that again. I mean, look, like, this is what everybody wanted, the players in the league. And, you know, it's amazing to me in hindsight that people were saying these players wouldn't play hard. Like, these guys are killing each other, and there is real hate between the U.S. and Canada. Like, this game tomorrow night, it's going to be a fierce, fierce game.
Great stuff, Elliot. Thanks for joining us, pal. Enjoy it.
All right, guys. Enjoy. See you later.
Appreciate it, Friege. Thanks. Boy.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, see, there's a lot of layers here coming out of this that it's going to have to get flushed out.
Do the owners get a piece of the money made from this whole thing?
It's 50-50. It's all revenue driven. So the answer is yes, and they share it with the players.
Lovely.
So
it makes up for a little of some guys' revenue, missed revenue.
That McAvoy thing's a mess.
A mess.
Yeah, particularly if this happened because of a bad treatment.
Oh,
yeah. What's Boston's situation on the weekend?
They got to play two points out or something.
The Leafs play them on Monday.
Next Tuesday
Tuesday
they play them. Yeah,
I would bet a lot of money that Austin Matthews does not play for the Leafs this upcoming weekend.
So here, do you want me? He mentioned the statement.
Some teams can afford to let their star players recover with a couple of games, and others just can't.
No, you're right.
I'm reading through the... Do you want me to read the statement from the Bruins about McAvoy?
Sure.
Charlie McAvoy sustained an injury to his right shoulder, big word that I'm not going to say, joint, in Team USA's Four Nation face-off game against Finland on February 13th. He underwent treatment, which was administered by Team USA's medical staff. Upon returning to Boston, he developed increasing pain, which he was evaluated by the Boston Bruins medical staff. After undergoing x-rays, MRIs, and blood work, he was diagnosed as having an infection in his right shoulder, as well as a significant injury to his AC joint. So basically it talks a little bit further, but they made it very clear at the top of that statement.
Team USA's docs,
which he said is the Wild's docs,
right,
which would make sense because it's Bill Guerin's
team. Yeah.
So.
Craziness.
Okay, where do you want to go? We got a few Kippers
quizzes. Hold on. Before you, we do have to talk about Matthews. You mentioned over under 1.5 games played this weekend for Austin Matthews.
Yeah, it feels like a no-brainer under for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the same way.
But I actually feel like that's also the right answer. I don't feel like that's, you know, some like a black mark on the tournament.
No.
Necessarily. I would, it's given us here.
I would say that even if they were totally healthy, you were, it would be within your rights to give Marner and Matthews, maybe not so much Nylander. He went home earlier.
Florida. But. You think Tampa's in a situation right now they could let their guys relax?
The only hard thing with Tampa is what I say yesterday. I think they got five guys there at least. It might be more than that. So they got a lot of bodies there. So you can't tell five guys to take the weekend but off.
It's not really five.
No, it's point.
Hedman. And it's just the guys Thursday night. Right. It's Hedman's already relaxing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
I want to play this clip because Brad Marchand, you know, as one of my least favorite, well, he's not my least favorite player. I shouldn't say that. I respect him. I love to hate him. He's one of those guys. But he had a clip today that felt very familiar, and I've heard this player before. Dutch, if you could play Marchand's clip on the USA from today.
They're by far the best that I've played. You know, no disrespect for the previous teams, but there's just the way that the game has evolved in the last 10 years. Some of the players on their team will be some of the best that ever played the game of hockey. And you know, they embody, you know, a team that competes at the highest level. They have everything. You know, they check well. They play physical. They have incredible talent. You know, the defensemen on the team can all skate. They're all good size. Like, you know, and it's just their goaltending is obviously incredible. So they don't have any weaknesses. And just their skill level is incredible to watch. So, you know, you look at them and you look at that team and there's nothing wrong with it. So it's definitely the best team that I've seen, really, that I think I've ever played against.
Just give them the win now.
Marchand, he does this.
Just setting them right
remember?
Up, eh?
Mitch Marner's my favorite player.
Right before the playoff series.
Let's just hope he's setting them up.
Yeah, but I mean, he does that. He's like Coop or any of those other guys. They're just so good. No one could beat them.
That is hilarious. That's a minute of the most glowing review of any team you could ever
have. Can we get to something that matters, really matters?
It's just, I'm saying, but as a Leaf fan,
I'll never get back in my life.
You don't like that?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's a waste.
Why?
Because I don't believe anything he's really saying.
Well, you're not supposed to.
He doesn't either.
He doesn't either.
Don't waste our time.
I think that's, you know, intention. That's gamesmanship.
Now, you know what doesn't waste my time? Matthew Tkachuk's clip coming up.
Okay, you want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Matthew Tkachuk, please.
Well, I mean, maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats. But, you know, I think that that's just a player, you know, enjoying this opportunity. So I think that our team does not care about anything that they say. And there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals. But, you know, we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country. And we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room. So it's an opportunity of a lifetime for us.
See, that's way better than what we just listened to, Brad Marchand. Way better.
Chuck's really good at that stuff, too. The whole, you know, the most dismissive part of that is that's just the guy just enjoying his opportunity. As in, like, he's got a moment at the mic here. He's not going to get another one in his life.
Hagel?
Yeah, that's Tkachuk kind of being dismissive of him.
I mean, he also, yeah.
They
went after a guy with how many career fights does Hagel have?
And Hagel did great.
Yeah, he stood in there.
A gamer, not an easy kind of picking for Matthew Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy.
But you can't have Sam Bennett fight him. Right?
Why?
They're teammates.
Teammates.
Oh, yeah.
Florida teammates. It's just a bad look. Now, me personally, I wouldn't mind it.
I think you could.
But outside of Sam Bennett, all Canada has really is Hagel. Like, unless, I don't know, give me another name. Drew Doughty, he talked about possibly doing it and being willing.
Yeah.
But if I'm Hagel, I go right back at Matthew Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, go, listen, you started something Saturday. I'll dictate. I'm coming right back at you. And Matthew has to accept that fight. You can't turtle on your home soil.
Right.
You cannot do what you did Saturday night on Canadian soil and then not accept the challenge in front of your fans, president.
Totally agree.
If you're Hagel,
the president's not going. He doesn't even care enough to go.
Right back at it and saying, "Listen, we're this is to be continued." But the last thing for me, Canada needs to do is think, well, that's not going to happen again, and we're just going to settle in, and we're going to play our game, and we're going to just find a way to score on the power play. And I'm like, no. Like, and Tkachuk's, I don't care if he's injured. I don't care if he's hurt, okay? You got to accept this challenge. And I go to Brady, too. What's bothering Brady? Okay, Sam Bennett, round two, buddy. Mm-hmm. Round two.
I think it's an interesting question of, like, what you prioritize in this winner-take-all single game. You know, how important is it to have this sort of chest puff off, you know, silverback gorilla mentality?
Can I tell you something?
But the chesting...
Okay, but that's fine. That's a great answer.
It's not fight or nothing. Mm-hmm. There's a trickle-down effect throughout your roster.
Yeah, yeah. So if you believe that's integral, then
100% I think it's integral.
Yeah.
So it's not... It's putting everybody on high alert. And then eventually it doesn't turn into fighting. It turns into a McAvoy running the shit out of Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I use that language, but it's the first word that came to my head.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to avoid.
Yeah, what's the next step for
that's
the physicality?
That's what I want to avoid.
Yeah.
Is that my best player does not take a hit like that again. And the effect of what is started will trickle into that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you get to the guys that aren't comfortable playing like that.
Right.
So if I have to go through the roster and I go right down to who's comfortable or uncomfortable playing this, and I lead it right down to Crosby and McKinnon, I'll take Crosby and McKinnon all day long over Austin Matthews and Jack Hughes.
Mm-hmm. I do think that the U.S. has some guys like that, and, you know, Kyle Connor, Jake Guentzel.
Come on, he throws pillows.
I mean, I will say
that Parayko,
he will throw them.
But hey, that Parayko,
but
if I go back and watch
anybody.
That, Parayko ragdolled him pretty good back to watch that.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, for Thursday night, I hope Canada feels kind of this way. And if they want to just say that's a one-off Saturday night, we're going to settle in, we're going to outskate them, and we're going to wait.
Yeah, I'm torn, though, because they are the more talented team, in my opinion. And I think in most people's opinion. So do you want to get down in the muck and play to, you know,
see, I don't know if they
get
have
away
that,
from
I don't,
game.
Ultimately, they may not because they don't have that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go down like your way, not their way.
Well, that's the question. Is it their way? You know, like the...
Yeah, it is their way. It was their way Saturday night. They owned you. They own
Well, that's their way.
They got
the point.
They got the fights in, and then
and they won.
And then everything settled in.
Right, and that's why it feels like their way, not Canada's way. That's how U.S. wanted to do it, and it worked for the U.S. I mean, McKinnon, McDavid, McCarr, these guys are going to create, in a way, the top-end scorers on the U.S. can't hang with those guys. Maybe a healthy Matthews can have a night, but, you know, most of them can't. I know. Listen, I respect that opinion, and I don't think it's wrong. I don't know what the right answer is, and I think it. I'd love to see it.
Got to tell you, McAvoy's a huge loss for them.
Now, and
huge loss.
Now, and Sanderson for me, this is a big swing. Defending the net, which is something they've done so well, is now it's Sanderson, Werenski, Fox. It's not even Slavin is a great defender. It's not heavy. Like it's.
McAvoy set the tone for that whole
team.
He
did. He changed the feel for the American defense.
Putting Sid's face through the boards, hammering McDavid. Like, he was setting the tone for them.
If the Tkachuk brothers are hurting a little bit, make them pay right off the start.
Make them hurt more.
Make them hurt more. I don't even have to know what your injury is, but I'm challenging you, and you better accept it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. We got another 2 hours.
Oh, my God. Another full day before the game. Just play tonight. My heart's not going to make it.
Wow.
Scott Niedermeyer tomorrow.
Our thanks to Hall of Famer Kevin Lowe, all the way from Mexico. And Elliot Friedge, our own Elliot Friedman, joining us as well. Have a great night, everybody. We're doing this all again tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern. Join us.